Oh, that wasn't very good. I'm going to try that one again. Maybe I'll pour a whiskey first. Yeah. Over me ice. That's too much.
Oh, that's much nicer, isn't that's it?
Better. I might put the first one in because it's funny. I think my
it is pretty funny.
Dusty mic. There we go. Sorry about that, everybody.
You blow on it down.
Well, I normally put my hats on top of the mics to keep the dust off it, but my hat's over there at the moment.
Yeah, well, that doesn't
matter. And really since buying three mics, I haven't got a hat big enough. I need a sombrero to put over all three to protect it from the dust.
Here hat. Now all I can think is Jim Browski with his Jimmy hat.
Who's Jim Browski?
JB's Jungle Brothers, and the Jimmy hat is a condom.
Oh.
Jim Browski.
It's going well over my head.
Anyway,
already.
Welcome everyone.
Oh yeah. Hello. Welcome to the podcast. I'm me.
And I'm myself as well.
Yes, yes.
Me, myself, and I. And I, yes. That's another old school fabulous hip hop reference, isn't it? To De La Soul.
De La Soul, yes. Very good. So I just we're
so Timmy
already a slightly
is,
little
you know,
tipsy,
we just, yeah, so just hopped into his...
Well, I'm technically ill, but I'm trooping on. I'm a trooper.
Yeah.
I'm a trooper.
And where have we been tonight, Timmy?
Thievery.
Thievery.
On Glee Point Road. It was very delicious. Kind of like a Greekish kind of style.
It's Lebanese.
Lebanese,
Yeah, it's same sort good. Of kind of vibe.
Similar vibe, kind of.
It kind of can be quite heavy sort of food and beautiful dips and it's one of my favourite joints too.
It's really good. And music was exceptional. It was just all really good fucking hip hop, which for me is perfect.
So. Absolutely. Every single time. Yeah, that's just part of their cornerstone really. It's just definitely. The hip funky fat hip hop. Beats and
good food.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and it wasn't too complicated either. It was just really good, nice food. So, most enjoyable.
What was your favourite?
The hummus was delicious. And what was it? Like a kind of burnt butter with paprika.
Absolutely.
Kind of drizzled over the top of it. So it was like almost warm when you got it.
Incredible.
That was good. And the lamb was very good.
Yeah, the lamb.
Actually, it was all good. And like the scallops were really good with the peas and the things and the pickled radish and... all that stuff, mint, stuff like that. And also, what? That's what we had.
We had some stuff and some things. So you're just going to have to go and check it out for yourself, people.
Roast broccolini. Although it was a lot fancier than my roast broccolini. They did some funky shit with it. And I don't even know what they did with that.
But it was almost burnt. It's charred. It's gorgeous with labneh in the bottom and a bit of chili.
Labneh, I knew that's a new thing for me. So
really, okay, well that's a Lebanese thing. It's not yogurt.
I still don't know what it is.
Funky yogurt.
Funky yogurt.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even be eating gorgeous. That at the moment because I might be intolerant to yogurt.
Lactard. As opposed to me, who's a glutard?
Well, I might be fucking both.
Oh,
a lucky glutard. I don't know what that
lactard, glutard, retard.
Lactard, glutard, retard. Yeah, that sums me up in three very simple things. Yes.
We'll just call you a tard.
Just a tard, yeah.
A tritard.
Timmy tard. Timmy tritard.
Timmy tard. You beat me to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Should I introduce you or not? We'll just keep
going. Yes. What's my name?
Your name is Ima.
And what's my last name?
Unicorn.
Yes, I'm a unicorn.
I'm a unicorn. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you very much.
Yes, we've had a lovely dinner and then we thought we'd come in. We actually tried to do a bit of a dinner podcast, but the music was too loud and it was probably, we'll have all kinds of copyright problems. So I don't think we might be able to, I don't know. But I did it with Sam the other week as well and I think it was just too loud. And so when I do go out and about, I think it needs to be a very selective environment to actually make it work. So.
Plus, I think it scares people off. So Dougie, who's usually amazing and very present, was hiding in the kitchen polishing cutlery as soon as he saw that.
We shouldn't have told him what it was. Like when we were at Rockpool, I think they thought, I mean, I said this earlier, I think they thought we were reviewing the place or something because... First off, they were late putting us to the table, which we didn't even fucking notice. When we noticed, we just said, oh, is our table ready? We weren't. There was no problem. And they were like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And they were really, you know, really sorry about it. And they sat us down at the table and gave us loads of free shit, like free starter, free dessert, free round of drinks and all that kind of stuff. And like the manager came up to us towards the end and chatted to us. And all because I think we had this thing on the table, which was obviously they thought, oh, they're reviewing the place. Fuck, we better make sure that... you know, we make it awesome. So either that, or they just make it awesome for you anyway, and it's just really good. So it could just be that they're just really nice.
Well, you'd actually just want to hope that they would do that with sort of device on the table, pushing them to do it.
Well, no, I don't think it was that, but maybe. But it just seems like it's just
a really
nice. Was
that the first time you've
been there? Yeah, yeah. But it just seems like it's a really well-run, professional
place
where they just make sure you have a really good time.
Well, so for instance, yesterday I had the best cafe experience. I caught up with my friend Christy, and we went to a cafe on Albion Street. Name escapes me right now.
Albion Street.
It will come to me. Yeah. And the food is incredible. It's got quite a bit of a Mexican sort of vibe going to it.
Albion Street.
Albion Street's in Surrey Hills.
Yeah, that's where it rings.
Then you've got
a bell.
The next one up is Favreau Street.
Yeah. And Albion Street rings a bell, yeah. Have a look.
I'm not connected to the internet.
We should have Wi-Fi'd you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the internet.
Well, do you want to look it up? Look up Rockin' Cafe.
I am a tri-tard, so I might not be able to do it.
Just use three fingers. You'll be fine.
Is that how retards type? Albion Street Cafe. We'll just see what happens.
Oh. Reuben Hills, I've remembered. Yeah.
Oh,
Reuben
first, Hills. First hit.
Oh, boom.
Reuben Hills. Well, you said it now, so you beat Google.
I beat you. You're...
You bought my retarded three fingers.
Okay, so so we rocked
Espresso
up there.
Espresso coffee subscription. What the fuck's that about?
Well,
filter coffee subscription.
Oh, and they have, well, see, we're preaching to the anti-caffeine drinker, so it's not really going to be on your vibe right now, is it, Tim?
Well, no, I don't drink coffee. And I even have to cut the fucking tea down because of my retarded milk inability.
Well, you can go herbal.
Fuck that.
Well, unless you're puffing the herb.
Oh, well, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that's the problem. I've not smoked weed for so long that I needed to smoke weed again. And it will solve all my problems.
So, anyway, back to Reuben Hills. So we rocked up there and I've only ever cruised on by and picked up a takeaway coffee, and the coffee is sensational. And, yeah, so we, being a glutard, and my friend, she's on that tip as well.
On the tip?
On the tip. The glutard tip because she's having
maybe that's where I am.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I always.
It's my story.
All right. So I'll keep looking at the menu.
Yeah.
It's blurry, or is that just my eyes?
So the food is fantastic, and so we had a bit of a mix-up because it doesn't really stipulate that there are glutard options. There's a lot of rye bread on there and all that sort of jazz.
They've got bacon jam, sorry.
Oh, they've got it all going on.
Yes.
Behave yourself. I need a water pistol so I can just squirt you.
Yeah, I've got a lightsaber.
No, it doesn't have the same effect.
You'd have to reach.
Well, I don't have to reach with a water pistol.
I need to get the sound effect then as well.
Oh, that'd be great if you and McGregor would be here right now. It'd be like, end of podcast.
Yeah. See you later.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
So you're at the place. You weren't sure about the retarded gluten options, gluten-free options.
Yeah, and so we spoke to another waiter who said, yeah, you can just swap out the corn tortilla for the bread. I'm like, great. So we ordered two things, and then they came out and we said, no, we wanted the impression.
We didn't want that. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, you've always got to be nice about these things. And
well,
felt terrible though. No, but the chef, I said, look, I'd really love this if I could have it with a corn tortilla. And the chef said, no, I won't do it. And I
He sounds like a sort of shit like I'd be like that.
No, I actually have got so much respect for him because he doesn't want to compromise his dish. So he was willing
doing it? Yeah, exactly. I just do it because I was like, I'd be like, I'm too busy. Fuck off.
No, they actually cooked two brand new dishes for us and made a suggestion for what to have.
So he,
and then,
okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And
it was
so amazing. Yeah, so I ended up having the Dirty Bird. Oh, I recommend look up the Dirty Bird.
Dirty Bird, hang
Dirty
on.
Bird is fantastic.
Spice grilled chicken, tomato salsa, manchego, pickled something or other, chipotle, aioli on brioche.
Nice. But I had it on a corn tortilla
pickled
and
slaw.
It was absolutely divine.
Yeah.
So I inhaled mine, and Christy was obviously talking a lot more than me. I blame it on her. I'm not a greedy guy.
Someone was talking more than you.
Ah, what? Stop. Shut the front door. The waiter comes back and he picks it. And they were so gracious and apologetic and really gorgeous the whole way through. I said, oh, that was incredible. You know, I could eat 10 more. And he said, you're still hungry. I said, no, that's okay. That's fine. And then he comes back 5 minutes later with, get the menu up again.
Hello.
With, you have to read out the yogurt dish with the poached pear.
Hang on.
Top with the breakfast thing going on.
Oh, it's a breakfast thing. Okay. Anchego poached pear with blackened pineapple, yogurt, raisin syrup and candied almonds.
It was sensational.
Anchego poached
pear. They brought that out. They said this is complimentary from the chef because of the mix-up that we have.
Yeah. Sorry you're gluten-free, but...
Yeah, sorry you're gluten, but here you go.
Here's this to make you feel a little bit better about things.
They were so gorgeous. I was impressed. I was so impressed.
The menu looks really nice.
Because in the beginning I got there and then I saw at the bottom of the menu it said no
glutards.
Well,
I'd have that
they actually said no, you know, it's stipulated on the bottom
right
hand corner.
Don't fuck with the menu.
Pretty much.
No variations.
No variations, yeah. But really, it's like no tards of any nation. So.
Yeah. We're intolerant to anyone who can't eat everything.
Anyone who's listening, go to Reuben Hills. Coffee lover,
definitely
get the coffee. And the food is incredible and the service amazing. And the
fancy
chef.
As fuck. Oh, can I read you the French toast?
Please do.
French toast with bacon crumb, charred banana, bacon custard, which I didn't even know was a thing. That's fucking amazing. Basil black pepper gel and berries. That sounds fucking amazing.
Oh, it's all incredible.
I'd eat that even if I was gluten intolerant. Fuck it. I'd go through the pain.
Fuck the police.
Fuck the...
That's my motto for 2017. Yeah. Join my caravan of get fucked.
Get fucked. Nice. Mm. That sounds really fucking good.
Yeah,
so
let's go there for breakfast one day,
that's
Timmy.
Called Reuben Hills and it's
on Albion Street.
Albion Street in Surrey Hills. Yeah. 61 Albion Street, Surrey Hills. 921-15556. There you go, guys. I've advertised for you now. In case you were listening, you owe me a free breakfast.
But it can't have any wheat.
No dairy, wheat,
or fun.
Bacon. Fuck off. No, I'll eat it all. I'll make an exception. I'll just plan to go home straight afterwards and get into bed.
Into the fetal position,
basically, and just go through the pain. It'll be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. It was so amazing. And we were there for about 2 hours. I kept on ordering. I'd already had a coffee that morning and I've been... Last time we spoke, I'd given up coffee apart from the occasional stray espresso martini.
Which you shouldn't have had because of your phone debacle.
Well, that wasn't your fault. From the universe. It wasn't very kind, was it?
Yeah. Shouldn't be drinking these. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, swim in this, mofo. Yeah.
Apple will make their phones impervious to espresso martinis. They already have done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the latest ones, espresso martini.
Tastic.
Free. Deterrent.
I've heard the last iPhone is waterproof, but it's probably not espresso martini proof.
It would be, because if it's waterproof, I mean, that's espresso martini is probably thicker than water, isn't it? So that won't get
a bit like how I felt when it had been sitting in the...
Yeah, I don't know about soaking it. I don't know about marinating it in espresso martini.
What was that French toast recipe again?
Yeah, bacon custard. Oh, what is
espresso
that?
Espresso martini.
Bacon custard. Do they make a custard and infuse it with bacon?
I reckon they must put it smoker. They must smoke it somehow.
Smoke the custard?
No, bacon smoke maybe. You know how you can smoke things.
In the custard?
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I can't even imagine what that is. Bacon custard. Do they whiz up the bacon into some sort of liquid and then make a custard from it? I don't know.
whiz up the bacon. To
yeah, like
liquid.
A bacon smoothie, and then turn it into a custard.
Bacon milkshake.
Yeah, or use the fat from the bacon to infuse into the custard somehow.
I just would have thought it would be.
Or just bits of bacon in custard. I'd be disappointed if it was that, because anyone
that
could
do
that.
That would be pretty great. That's like.
It's like bird's custard with bacon bits in it.
Yeah,
like,
which is. What was that? McFlurry bacon thing.
Was there?
No,
there
but
was
I'm
a
saying.
McFlurry bacon.
No, but I'm just saying that that's.
There should be a McFlurry bacon. That sounds amazing. So one good thing McDonald's do is their fucking bacon. It's literally the only good
dear.
Thing they do.
So Timmy, I said to you before we started this, let's try and keep this to an hour.
Yeah,
we're not off to a flying start.
Well, we're up 15 minutes already. We haven't actually talked about anything. This happened the other day. I had Marzia
this
on.
This happens every time with us, which is a lovely thing. So we should just call the podcast In Conversation with
In
Timmy
conversation.
And his friend the Unicorn.
The friend the Unicorn. This happened the other day with Marzia. She had just been to Japan with her boyfriend. She came back and we were like, right, let's get you on and we'll have a chat about it. Awesome. We chatted for an hour before we'd even really talked about Japan and we were like, oh, fuck. And yeah, so
we already did that at dinner for.
Yeah. We've kind of covered a few things at dinner.
An hour and a half or something like that. So
anyway,
but that's the beauty of the.
Well, it's just really, it's meant to just be a conversation, really.
It is, isn't it?
Sometimes I try and have a theme. Like we did one about the energy, I wouldn't say crisis, but the future energy needs of the planet in the next 50 years. And we did this, there was this amazing article about that I read. And so I basically read through the article and me and Will just commented on it and chatted about it. And that was actually quite good. We came across reasonably intellectual.
Well, that sounds better than trying to work out how the fuck you get bacon into custard.
I think that's just as important. Some of my friends who potentially might be listening would be interested to know how that happens. So go to the place we said. What's it called again?
Reuben Hills. In Surrey Hills.
What's that with their fucking logo there? It looks like it's like someone's got fancy with the warp tool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Too much coffee? Had the jitters?
Yeah, I think so. Well, they were drunk when they did it and thought it was straight. And then
espresso martini.
Do they do espresso martinis? I bet they do.
No, but I'm saying.
Well, if they sell coffee, I bet they would.
Mm.
Maybe.
Well, if they did, I would have ordered one in remembrance of my iPhone.
Yeah, salute. You like poured like a third of it out. One for me and one for my iPhone.
Exactly.
One to the curb. Yeah.
Okay, so our podcast is meant
to talk about
culture.
Culture?
So.
Well, we've talked a bit of culture. Already,
kind of food. Yeah.
That's culture, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a thing that Sydney does
you
really well.
You actually had a list of things you wanted to be cultural about, didn't you?
Yeah. So, well, one of the first things that I wanted to talk about, which was interesting, Dougie, that he was a little bit sombrero.
Is he the owner? Or
manager.
Manager.
Yeah, okay. And he's a bit sombrero because they've been quiet earlier in the week. And Vivid. Have you been to Vivid, Timmy?
No.
Why not?
Well, I went last year.
Okay, I missed out on it last year.
I really liked it the first few years it was on because it was really quiet and it seemed like it was proper art installations that people were doing and kind of thought about, and they were really incredible. And it was really quiet so you could do some photography and just being around it with not much going on, it just was really special.
More of a personal experience.
Yeah, it was really good. And then the last few years I've gone, it's just been too busy and too many people, and my anxiety goes through the roof, so I don't really enjoy it. And
I get that claustrophobia as well. The prams running over your feet.
Yeah, and they kind of force you to go a certain way around it down at Circular Quay.
Oh, yeah, we had that on Tuesday night. Yeah.
And then it kind of seems like some of them are just like, some stuff's really good, but some stuff just seems like, oh, we'll just put a tube and put some light through it and there you go. It's like, oh, anyone could have done that. Come on, have some thought to it. So, but not all of them. Some were thought about and the projections are still incredible. Like,
I think ultimately we always face, irrespective of Vivid or not, with contemporary art, you face that whole dilemma
is it art or is it not?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Because
yeah, I think some of it can be so contrived. Some of it can just be a bit too wanky. So I hear what you're saying.
Did you see the one behind Customs House with the, it was like in this kind of alleyway and there was like a Hessian thing. Sorry, I'm coming away from the mic.
And I just directed him.
Yeah. You can actually say though, you can vocalize it. You can call me an idiot.
I just thought it'd be more natural.
No, no, you can call me an idiot because everyone will understand what you're trying to do. I'm very bad on the mic, even though I'm trying to run this fucking podcast. So. So it's like a alleyway and there's like a suspended, like slightly opaque Hessian-y material thing.
Right.
And they're projecting through it. So it's projected onto it, but also it's going through onto the ground.
Oh,
and that looks
nice,
incredible.
With all the shadows and the lights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
incredible.
Really smart, isn't it? Taking it to
so
the
next level. So that was behind Customs
next
House
level,
in one of the little alleyways behind.
Which is my friend Felice's favourite saying, next level.
It's next level.
She said it so much when my parents were here last year that when my parents would come to my place and they'd eat food, they'd say, this is next level. Ode to Felice.
Nice.
We love you, Felice.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I haven't been this year. And I mean, it's probably, is it still on? I don't know. Is it?
It's actually been extended this year. It's the longest.
Oh.
Yeah. So it actually runs till Sunday.
Oh, I'd like to go to Taranga and see all the stuff there. That looks interesting because it's all up in there now in the zoo. So.
You know what? So I went on Tuesday night. Just did a little bit of Circular Quay, but predominantly did the botanical gardens, and because I love the garden so much, you know, I can't get enough.
How was that? Was that good?
It was really lovely, actually. Yeah. They are.
Is it as busy in the botanical gardens, or?
Well, I think we were quite lucky for a little bit, and then we stopped to have a gin.
As you do.
Well,
is there a pop-up gin bar there? Or
well,
something?
Well, this is the irony, and Richie and I were talking about this. So, they had this. It's called the forest garden or something like that. And it's this pop-up bar halfway down from the Opera House. So it does a loop from the Opera House, and it goes all the way around to the conservatorium. Halfway down, they have food. And booze.
And gin.
Yeah. So we...
You got distracted by gin for a bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was National Gin Day last Saturday and we're still celebrating. So. But the thing that got me was you got the gin in a pouch. So this plastic pouch, the back half of it was...
A pouch of gin?
Yeah.
Isn't it combined into a drink?
It was a drink in a pouch. Like, talk about a hipster clusterfuck.
What? Is it because they want glass in the gardens? Was that it, or was it just a
well?
A
you
wanky
were contained.
Gin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
It's quite silly, actually.
Gin
it's
pouch.
Like, hold on. Yeah. And it took her forever to make. I was saying to her, I was watching her and thinking, I'm glad it's quiet tonight. I'm thinking, if you've got 50 people lined up, they're going to be like really quiet.
I just have to decant this gin into my pouch. Bear with me a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Not a fucking kangaroo.
That'll be the next thing.
Yeah, fuel up the bad boy and off I hop away. Yeah. But I just thought there was a bit of sense of irony there when it was called the forest garden sort of bar thing and then it's served in plastic. I'm like, hold on, aren't you meant to be hugging the environment and...
Serve it in a bit of tree bark or something, like a hollowed out bit of...
Well, as Richie and I were saying, even with coffee cups these days, they're biodegradable.
Some aren't. You've got to be careful with that, haven't you? Because some you can't even recycle, but some...
Some are.
Careful.
What I love, and as I was saying to him, is when cafes actually encourage people to bring their keep cup and they'll give you 50 cents off.
I think that is
so fantastic.
I'd go down with a mug and just go, yeah, fill that up.
Yeah.
But I only have tea, so it's pointless.
What sort of mug? What's on your mug?
There's a queen. Obviously.
I thought it was going to be a picture of your feet.
Of my feet? You want to have my feet on a cup from the tea? No, it's the queen. Queenie. It's in the cupboards. The people I work with know Queenie well. My mate once used Queenie without my permission and I got into work the next morning. I wasn't in there for the day before. And Queenie was on the desk by his computer. I didn't lose my shit, but I was annoyed.
Mm.
And people understood my annoyance. They were like, you shouldn't have used that.
Yeah, I when I was at work, I had my mug, and my mug was it's this company. I think they're a British company, or maybe they're American. Anyway, they're an international company, and they're called they're called Good Fucking Design Advice.
Yeah.
And the mug said "Work Fucking Harder," but it was a black mug, and it had it kind of like a. On the type, it was like a varnish, so it's very subtle. And one day I'd left it on my desk at work, and excuse me?
A wanky cup. No, with like a spot varnish, spot UV on it, like a printy wanky cup, like a geek, printer geek cup.
I'm sorry, what was on yours again?
The Queen.
Yeah, there you go. Shut your face.
She's awesome.
Shut your scone hole.
Scone hole. Oh, I'd like a scone. Can I have? I can't have scones right now, can I? It's like my double
you're
whammy.
No, you're not allowed that.
Clotted cream and...
Oh, stop it. See, I'm not allowed that either.
I'd have it though. I wouldn't give a fuck. I'd be like, that's too good. Fuck it. I mean, if I was in proper Cornwall with proper Cornish cream, like clotted cream.
Anyway. My grandma used to make the most incredible pumpkin scones. Oh, that was so amazing. So good. Anyway, so let's get back to Vivid.
No, we're talking about the cup. I want to hear more about the cup.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Someone... Yeah.
Fuck Vivid. I mean, I want to hear... We're talking teacups, tea mugs. Far more cultural.
Yeah. Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. So,
I'll show you Queenie in a bit.
Yeah, I think I've seen Queenie. Did you have Queenie at PhD?
No. No, the irony was I got Queenie as a birthday gift.
Right.
So it was my birthday a few years back. My college mates got me this amazing Japanese tea set as my main present.
Mm-hmm.
But first, they gave me Queenie as a little mug, as a joke present, because they know
and
I love
and
tea.
And you love that more.
I do. Mm. And I opened it. I was like, this is fucking awesome. And
but she's
like,
meant to be a massive racist bitch.
Racist bitch?
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Is she? I don't know. I quite like the Queen. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm English and she's on the money.
Oh, she's on all the money, baby.
Show me the money. She's on fucking Aussie money as well.
I know. She's everywhere.
So you've got to love her. No, I quite like the Queen.
But it's like
maybe
a mugshot. It's always a side profile.
She's German anyway, isn't she?
Yeah, side profile.
Yeah, she's got a good profile.
Mugshot. That's a mugshot, man.
That's why she's on my mug.
And that's why, exactly. Boom, there it is. Thank you very much.
The circle is complete. It does make a good fucking cup of tea.
So the Queen is a gangster.
Yeah, that's why I like her. Yeah, I have to say, I look when I've done a fancy dressing dressed up as a gangster before, and I look pretty good. So I think I am a gangster at heart. So, have you not seen my I've got a profile picture where I'm dressed up like a gangster and I'm like 5.
No.
Yeah, I look like a little gangster. It's brilliant.
Oh, you'll have to show me that. That's cute.
What is that on? I'll try and find it.
All right.
You keep telling me about Vivid.
Okay, so. Vivid was fantastic, and you guys, I don't know when, hopefully you'll post this tomorrow, or how hard is it for you to post this?
I've not got much planned tomorrow night, so I got a load of work out of the way this week, so.
Oh, good, because it's the things that I want to talk about, some of the things I want to talk about for the guys.
Definitely.
For the next week. And a little bit ahead.
So this is what's going on in the next week. So today is Thursday, the 15th of June.
Yep.
We'll have the podcast up tomorrow, the 16th of June.
Yeah. So yeah, I just thought, so essentially in my last gig, I was in the culture club for the agency, and I took it off my own back to send out an email to the whole company on my top 10 things to do in the city. So it's my cultural kicks for creative kiddies, if you will. And essentially, so look, I've been in Sydney for 17 years now, and it's still my non-stop adventure. And, oh, hold on,
that's
here we go.
That's me as a gangster when I was 5.
Gangster?
Yeah. A little turned up cap, I'm waving like my little camera, I look like a little gangster.
You look like a blue duck.
Hey, some gangsters would wear blue. I pulled that photo out to my friend because I used to say I was a gangster and she didn't believe me. So I showed her that and she was like, oh, fair enough.
Okay, you look like a you look like a gangster duck, but you've got a very cute little face.
Yeah. That was in France. How old are you there? I have no idea. I don't know.
Sorry, guys. You can't see what we're looking at. But Timmy might actually break the rules and save that as the picture for the podcast to fuck the police.
It should be that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll
put
so. That.
Okay, I'll post this picture when I put the podcast up. This is me when I was like 5 or 6.
It's pretty cute.
Looking like a gangster or a blue duck. As Miss Unicorn.
I'm a.
Miss Unicorn says.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So back to the cultural thing. So yeah. So I
the cultural thing.
Back to the cultural. Funk and jazz. Yes, I just decided to have the balls to send out an email to 120 people every week on what I thought was good. 10 great things to do in the city, just to encourage people to experience new things and enjoy this wonderful city that we live in. And it was really well received, which was quite lovely. Yeah, so I just thought, maybe that's how we can run this podcast.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah. So every couple of weeks,
and
we'll get you on and
I think so. I think
chat some nonsense, but also some culture.
Yeah, because it's about half hour into it, and we're just getting to the
exactly half hour. Yeah, I think that's probably what it'll be. It'll be half hour of us catching up, talking some nonsense, and then we'll do half hour of actual useful information about what to get up to in Sydney for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. So. I think that's good.
Yeah. So I think, so Sydney, don't you agree? Sydney, as much as we've had so many problems with our lockout laws and problems that we're having in the nighttime, it's still such a beautiful city to live in during the daytime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's so much stuff to discover, which I still don't even know, because even though I've been here for years, there's still things I'm discovering. You're like, oh, fuck, I wish I knew about that place longer, you know, 2 years ago. But so there's so much still to discover here that's still going on despite the issues that have arisen since the lockout.
So, why do you think it is that you don't know what's on?
Because I'm a bit of a miserable bastard and I stay at home too much. I'm a bit of a recluse, as Sam announced the other day. So
there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
I like it, but. But yeah, no, I think with Sydney, you just have to hear about something. Oh, you should check this place out. And you just have to be a bit more social. And then you hear about these cool things. Or I went to this awesome cafe. It's like, oh, wow, I've not heard of that place. I'll go check it out. Or the place you were telling me about earlier, the foodie markety place that you were telling me about.
Oh, yeah, Four Villages behind on Dank Street.
Yeah, see, that sounds
which is amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, look, there's definitely a whole lot of merit in the old worldy word of mouth thing, but also there's a lot of information in social media and newsletters.
Or something like this, so that we can actually say, even though it's word of mouth still, but it's a slightly more technologically advanced word of mouth
and
that we're doing.
Oh, yeah, and we're talking about experience as well, you know, so that gives it a different level, I think, doesn't it? So, but yeah, so Vivid, you couldn't be fucked.
Yeah, I don't
know. Listen to me. So the Botanic Gardens length of it, fantastic. So you walk down and it's giant sunflowers, which are gorgeous. They, over time, they
swivel around
like as though they're chasing the sun, because that's what sunflowers do, right? Which is that's like a really nice, simple.
Yeah, that's cool.
A really simple thing that they've used there. There's another one that I really enjoyed, which is these two giant kiwis, and what they've done with
them.
Like
New Zealand people, or
yeah,
kiwis, like,
pretty much. Yeah. Eating those pineapple lollies, and
yeah, no, it sounds good, but. Oh, just all the people would annoy me. I'd want to do it by myself.
So
if I could just
lucky.
Lock everyone out.
And then we walked up further and there's this other part which is turning around the bend back up towards the conservatorium.
Yeah, okay.
And there are these, they look like these cocoon human cocoon pods that are hanging upside down on a tree, and in the background that's you've cool. got this deep house bass right. and oh, music, cool. like really futuristic. Yeah. See, I love that sort of techno deep house sort of vibe going on. Very, very cool. And in the background of that, on the old figs, they've got beautiful projections of lights happening on the trees. But then all of a sudden, if you've got to stay and watch, and there's just these cats that are running down the branches, oh, like really cool. playful and really yeah, gorgeous. Yeah,
some of the projections I've seen so far have really impressed me. Mm. Like the one in the city in Martin Place on the round thing.
Oh yes,
that's clever. Mm. I just like that from the technical point of view of how they've managed to project on the round. Like they've gone at least 3/4 of the way around this circular thing, and they must have 4 or 5 different projectors.
Oh, it's all timed, yeah.
Projecting
it's
all
incredible.
At once, but you can't tell that. Like, I don't know how you.
But how beautiful is that? Just somehow is that.
Oh, it's
perfect.
Incredible. Oh, and just how you do it, and you don't overexpose certain parts of the yeah. projection, and because there must be overlap and stuff. Mm-hmm. So how do they work that out? Mm. It's incredible. Like just from a. Because I think of it from the planning point, because obviously what I do for a living, it's yeah, like, well, definitely. How would I do that? And it's like, wow, man, that's mad. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool projection as well. Like it's like a nature thing on that one. So
yeah,
it's yeah, interesting. Yeah. Very clever. Very clever stuff.
Oh, so. Super, super clever.
Yeah.
So yeah, have you ever gone to any of the Vivid Talks?
No.
Oh, so
I didn't know about those.
Oh, so I used to go to Vivid back in the days when we worked together. And
yeah, I'd go down and do photography then and do, take shots of all the stuff, which was cool. But
and this is back in the day.
Really did the talks.
Right. Oh, this is back in the day when the talks were free in the Opera House.
Yeah, see, this
in the
is
studio,
when it was,
and it was so incredible. So I went to as many as I could. And
I think I remember those, but I never went. I think I was always just walking
ago.
Around.
It was so good.
And I think they left them on all night then as well, like the outdoors bits. They just left them on. So we used to go down from the hostel really drunk on various substances. And I'd just go down with my little camera and we'd just wander around for 2 or 3 hours and just have this mad adventure, completely empty, take shots and moons out. And it was the whole experience
the
of the stars
still
and the water,
water
and the moon and the things. Yeah. And it was really cool. And I think that's what made it so special. And
yeah.
I found last year when I got stressed out about all the people, I went right up on top of above
Observatory
Circular Quay train station.
Oh,
you
right,
go right
yeah.
up onto the walkway where the road is.
Okay, yeah.
And it's totally empty. So right. you can actually look down on it. You can see the projection on the Opera House. You can see the Modern Art Gallery one.
Okay.
And you can see the people. And it's actually really quiet. And it's kind of... That kind of reconnected me to the first couple of years of Vivid. It was like, oh, this is really serene and nice, and you can see all this cool stuff.
And take it in
that
for
was
what it was
really
without
nice, yeah.
all the ants yeah, distracting
yeah.
you.
Yeah, because that was almost part of it, and you could, but you didn't have anyone around you stressing you out. And that was actually really nice, yeah. That was a good way of doing it. So.
Yeah, fantastic.
So there's definitely ways to enjoy it if you can't handle all the people. There's areas you can go to where you can get a bit more.
Well, you probably could go when it's raining.
Well, that's what I thought. I'd like to go when it's just pissing it down, because it would be quite, you get, if you had a camera that can handle the getting wet, then you could get out there and get some
definitely.
Really good photography, I
and,
think,
and
so.
You'd, yeah, the world would be your oyster, you know, absolutely, because unfortunately we live in a city which the rain scares people away, which is really ludicrous, isn't it?
But kind of good at the same time. So.
Oh yeah, it has its benefits, but I just think it's quite silly that people miss out on experiences because they're afraid of getting wet. It's only water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on Sunday I went to a fantastic talk that was presented and organised by my beautiful friend Dan Ling, which you know, we did an art show together.
Yeah.
Yeah, our group art show that we did together. So she now has her Instagram handle is Mundane Matters. Sign up if you already haven't, people.
Mundane
Join
Matters.
The other 46
people.
K.
Oh, 46, really?
Yeah, wow. Followers. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, Mundane Matters.
Mundane Matters. She's incredible.
Interesting people.
Yeah. So she's amazing. So she's.
I'm gonna do that now before I forget, because I will forget. So
it's Mundane_Matters.
Okay. Cool.
And so she's quite an incredible individual, and we met years ago on Instagram, and.
Oh, you actually met through...
Yeah, we did. And we met up at... I don't know if you and I ever met up at... just around the corner we went to...
I remember.
At the Toxteth. They used to have... It was very cute. I thought it was adorable. They called it the Tate. It was upstairs at the Toxteth. Yeah. So we met there and we hung out. Yeah. And we've been friends ever since. And when I did that group show, I invited her to... be a part of it, and she does amazing things, as you know, with playing around with fruit and vegetables, and
that's really cool.
so she just was just started playing with it, and it's evolved into this thing now. She's all about encouraging sustainability with food and really encouraging people to think about what they eat, how they eat, and also that obviously goes into your environment, the environment, and how you consider the environment with your approach with everything, and sustainability, and she's all about community, and I'm so proud of her.
That sounds cool.
So she initially had a different Instagram handle, but then she just ditched that, and then 2 years ago, she started Mundane Matters, which she just makes me laugh so much. She's just got this sense of humor. And a lot of the time, she doesn't try to be funny, but she's just so funny. She's just gorgeous. You know, she. What I think is so endearing, she's just such an honest, gorgeous person. And she's making a great impact, you know. She.
46,000 followers.
And she's been profiled on
that's really good.
Oh, absolutely.
It's better than my 200 whatever I've got.
Well, yeah, so she's been on Design Boom, Design Taxi, Mashable, ABC International. She showed her work here in New York, Paris, and she's hosted talks and workshops at Apple Sydney, Sherman Contemporary Art Foundation, The Powerhouse, and many others, and recently Vivid, and that's pretty amazing.
That's cool, yeah.
And so she teamed up with some other people in the food industry. So she teamed up with the guy from Automata and Catherine Sabbath, who's the cake creative. I'm sure you're familiar with her work.
No, I'm not.
She's pretty cool. I'll show you. She was a science teacher in high school, and she finally decided to take the leap to quit that a couple of years ago to jump into this endeavor like Danling did with her full-time creative job.
That's cool. Yeah.
These it's women that have got balls. Absolutely. It's fucking fantastic.
It pushes me to do stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
There was actually Heston Blumenthal was on the Today Show or whatever it was. The evening thing that's, I can't remember what it's called, the Daily Show or the...
The Project.
Maybe the... Yeah,
he didn't make any sense, that one, though.
Oh, no, it was brilliant. He was on another level of just some other spiritual level, and I totally connected to it. But I know what you mean. He was talking about something, and it came across to me as seize the day and do what you love doing and just get out there and fucking do it. Don't hold back. Don't keep waiting. Just get out and do it. And I was like, right, fuck it. Here we go. So
it
was really inspirational.
And that's why I love this girl.
A bit mad, but,
and she's so down to earth and... But she's, you know, that passion and that drive, and it takes a lot of courage to give up a full-time job to follow your passion. Absolutely. In an expensive city like Sydney. And she's had a great mentor, and I think she's just wonderful, and I really love catching up with her, and she's so cheeky and funny, you know. She's just a little ray of sunshine. So that was an absolute delight seeing her on Sunday doing that talk.
Yeah, that must have been cool. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. So good. So tacking on to, there's another really cool thing that's on this weekend for Vivid, because Vivid wraps up on Sunday, as we know. So there's a women in electronic music showcase, which is presented by FBI Radio, which is a local community radio station.
Yeah, we listen to them at work. Yeah,
yeah. JB does his radio show on there.
Okay. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Well, when does he do?
So he does Thursday nights.
Okay, yeah, we have one during the day, so I probably wouldn't have heard him, but yeah.
Yeah, no, he's got a great yeah, show. Okay. Called The Vinyl Frontier.
Nice.
Isn't that the best name ever? Yeah. But yeah, it's all funk and soul, and he rarely has guests on there to interview, but around that the music is superb. It's funky as, yeah.
I want to start a hip-hop show.
Great.
But I don't know how, but I want to start a hip hop show.
Why don't you talk to him? And I've got my other friend, cool, Paris Pompor, who's Paris Groove Scooter. He's on 2SER and he does every fourth radio show with JB. And he's got so much experience and he's so amazing, this guy. And he's heavily involved in the Sydney Film Festival. He does these incredible interviews that are called In Conversation, and they're hosted all around the place. I saw one of my favorites was with Iota at the Bearded Tit, which was fantastic, really awesome. But yeah, he's such an interesting character, and he's very modest, but he's marvelous, you know. Yeah, okay. And he's gorgeous. I love him.
That's cool.
So back to the women.
I might just take a quick pee break, actually. Sorry.
Okay.
I've just announced it on the podcast, but you have to say these things. No, I'll pause it now. I'll just put a little, we'll be back shortly. I'll just do that and then I can see the thing. Stop. All right, we're back.
How do you feel?
Rest stop's done. I feel all right. Yeah, I feel better, actually. Must be the alcohol. Maybe it's just because I hadn't drunk in ages.
No.
I don't know. I think it was a good food, actually, did help.
Oh, the food was fantastic.
It's like it wasn't too rich either. I thought it might have been a bit too rich when I was kind of looking at the menu, but it was actually really nice.
No, we picked some good stuff.
Yeah, that's it was good balance.
Get some veggies.
And I think basically that's how I have to eat from now on. It's just healthy stuff, just veggies and simple meat and nothing too fancy, basically. So it's kind of forcing me to actually finally eat really healthy, super clean and healthy, and burn a bit of fat off. That's my aim. So my fitness regime, my boxing thing. So
I wish I could box.
Yeah, can you not, because of the impact, can you not do that?
No.
Just because of the...
That's right, yeah. Mm. That's okay, plenty of other things. That's why I'm the Forrest Gumping.
Forrest Gump of walking.
That's right. Yeah. You know my catchphrase.
Yeah.
Sounding like a rerun.
Right. So you were just about to talk about the next thing you came back to. What was that you were about to say?
Well, so there's some really cool things going on this weekend.
Okay, so this is the weekend of the 17th, well, Friday the 16th is tomorrow, which we'll have the podcast up on. So you've got 17th and 18th, which is Saturday and Sunday of June.
So as I was mentioning before, Sydney Film Festival still going, and that will be wrapping up on Sunday. So have you ever been to any of the films for that?
I haven't. No.
I've actually...
Should do, really, but anyway.
I've been to a couple, but my most... memorable was last year. I took Felice for a birthday. We saw this film called Berlin the Golden Age Cinema. Have you been there?
Mm-mm.
That's fantastic. It's the old Paramount Studios on Commonwealth Street. I think it's Commonwealth Street. And we've got a beautiful cocktail bar, and the cinemas are really small. And this was a film, I can't remember the director, but it was shot in one take. It was amazing.
Wow, I love films like that.
It was such a great movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was fantastic.
That's cool, wow. Because, they did that. Did you hear the Woody Harrelson thing that he did in London recently? Where they shot this film live
mm-hmm.
and streamed it to 200 cinemas across America.
Oh, right.
And a couple in London. They filmed it all in London. It was about this night when he got arrested in London. Just what happened, basically, in this night. And they recreated it. They planned the whole thing out. And they shot the whole thing live and streamed it live and did that. And it was apparently incredible. Oh. And then they've now released it as a film into a few select cinemas.
Should check that out.
And yeah, it's supposed to be really good. Just the whole concept of it, that kind of thing. And I love films where they push the boundaries like that.
Oh, well, this film was like that. So it was this girl who was, I can't remember what country she was from, but she was in Berlin. And it's the opening scenes where she's dancing in a club. And then she's leaving and she meets these guys. And then she ends up hanging out with these guys all night long. And then things go a little bit awry. And, it's pretty crazy
and
stuff.
And it's all
happens.
One take.
All one
thing.
Take. So and what happens is pretty crazy. Yeah. It's really impressive, to be honest with you. Mm. Amazing. And what was even more impressive was that we could order a cocktail and it was delivered to us when we were sitting down in the cinema.
I actually, when I go to the cinema now, because of my being a miserable bastard recluse, I only go to the gold class things now. I go to the Hoyts, Lux thing.
You want to recline, order a beer on the hour, every hour.
Yeah, you can eat free popcorn, all you can eat popcorn, free drink. Seats are really comfy. The cinema's still big.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. And the people who are in there actually want to watch it, so they're not there chatting and being annoying because
they're paying for the premium
$45
experience.
For a ticket.
That's right.
So, yeah. So that's what I do now. It's great. But yeah.
I love going to the movies.
Oh, it's great.
I really like it,
but I get annoyed when people are making noise and rustling their things, and it's just like, oh, no, come on. So that's why I do the other thing now. But it's great because it's still, you get the experience, but it's just a bit nice. And the seats are a lot comfier. You get the electric recliner seats and all that shit. It's fucking great.
Oh, you are so lazy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I like my fancy things and I'm lazy. So.
You are. You are DJ Electronica.
Electronica. but yeah, what are you talking about with films with like that kind of long take kind of thing? It's like, there's a film, a martial arts film called The Protector, which is the Western name for it. And there's a scene when this guy, he fights about 50 people going up this spiral building. It's like it's like a floor that it kind of goes spirals round and round.
Is it a car park?
No, it's not a car park, but it's kind of like that kind of thing. It's like a big central kind of foyer area that goes up 10 floors, and it's like a thing that goes all the way around and around and around all the way up, and it's one take, one shot, no cuts, and he just fights 60 people. It's a martial arts thing. So it's all choreographed, and it's the most incredible scene. It's just amazing. Actually, Quentin Tarantino loved the film so much that he distributed it outside of Asia.
Wow.
He paid for it all and did,
that's pretty impressive.
Probably because of this one scene, because it's just incredible. And
that's really cool.
And like the scene in Notting Hill, which no one really talks about. Have you seen Notting Hill? There's a scene when Hugh Grant, yeah. One of the Hughes. He's walking along.
House was walking down the street.
Yeah, House limping down the street. I love House.
I love House too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just walking down Notting Hill markets in the day.
Right.
And it goes through. They want to portray that it's been a year. So it goes through the four seasons, but it's one take. And it's just him walking. And the seasons change as he's walking through the street.
Well, that's really clever, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's such an amazing, no one really talks about it, but it's a really amazing scene. Like, really incredible how they do it. And it's just brilliant.
Well, I just think these days people think everything's green screen. But that was...
Yeah, but that was actually... No, this was all
like
done...
90s, that movie?
Yeah, late 90s, early
2000s.
Right,
okay.
And it was really beautiful. And the music is Ain't No Sunshine. Ain't No Sunshine.
Gorgeous.
Just that. Yeah, it's like a two-minute piece of movie perfection, I think. It's really
beautiful.
Good, so, yeah. Good movie as well. I like it. It's one of those cheesy, feel-good kind of movies,
we like those, don't we?
Yeah, kind of like Love, Actually. So, well, same guy who made it. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Love all that shit.
So
where were we?
I wanted to get back to the part of Vivid this weekend, which I think is pretty awesome, is the I've lost my notes.
I'm very impressed you have notes. It's very good.
I did research, darling.
Yes, that's very good.
So the Women in Electronic Music Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is particularly fantastic because, let's face it, the whole DJ world is saturated with predominantly male DJs, and I think that could probably be a little bit, make it a bit inferior for females to want to try and get into that. So that's my opinion anyway. So I think this is really wonderful. So on Saturday they have in Marrickville, they've got all these female DJs that are going to be having a party later that night at the Oxford Art Factory. They're having all these workshops, and it's from writing music to you name it, they're doing it.
Like DJ skills. And
yeah, exactly, and exactly. Unfortunately, well, not
which
unfortunately.
With my decks here.
The submissions or the call out for that is actually closed. Hopefully it's filled for girls to join that, but I think that's a wonderful thing that's going from 10:30 till 1:30 in Marrickville.
Saturday
during the day.
Oh, Saturday. Okay, cool.
And then on Saturday night from 8 p.m. onwards, they have a night at Oxford Art Factory. So they're all DJing, which I think that's superb.
Oh, that's
so
really
it's
good.
Like
so
it's a day of getting together, jamming with these girls and learning new skills, and then at the end of the night having a bit of a party to celebrate.
Yeah,
you know, I
really
think that's
good.
Really, really lovely.
Yeah, so that's Saturday the 17th of June.
That's right.
Which is, in a couple of days' time.
Yeah.
So, well, tomorrow, because we'll release this on Friday. So, tomorrow night that'll be.
So that was
to anyone listening,
something that I thought that was quite lovely.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm. And another thing that's coming up, now that we're on the, you know, the little
culture vibe,
warm fuzzy vibe, which I think is really lovely. So have you ever been to the Soda Factory?
Yes, I love the Soda Factory. I've not been for a while because last time I was there, I was very drunk. And actually, I've been there a few times. I was there on a midweek and it was brilliant. And then I was there on a Saturday night, and it started with really cool rock music and like blues and rock and stuff. And then it just dropped into amazingly awesome, cheesy 90s,
fantastic
80s, 90s, 2000s music. Like brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, just all the party,
it was
party
the
vibes.
Party tunes and good hip hop and a bit of Fleetwood Mac and
all,
you know, all that
sweetness
kind of stuff.
Like the,
it was awesome. It was so good.
The jukebox. Love,
it was just really good. And even though it was cheesy music, it was good cheesy music.
Yeah,
and they dropped Shaggy Mambo Number Five, not Shaggy Mambo Number Five, Mambo Number Five, and Shaggy actually. But anyone who drops Mambo Number Five, which dropped about four times in the night, and every time it was awesome.
Each
DJ was like, "No, I'm fucking dropping this. I don't give a fuck if someone's dropped."
Yeah, it was in my list,
like,
so bugger
one,
off.
One, two, three, four, five. It's just like, oh, when that comes on, everyone cannot help but lose their shit.
We
it's
love
such
we
a tune.
Love all that
such
nostalgic. Sort of stuff, don't we?
Soda Factory's great and a cool place as well inside. It's
I don't know if it's still the thing where you used to walk through the Coke machine.
When you walk in, it's all very kind of, I don't know what I say, sound of 60s American diner style vibe.
Happy
to it.
Days vibe,
And then I can't remember the door. I don't know, I was a bit drunk when I got there, so I can't really remember. But yeah, you go in and it's very much an American bar, like a kind of a U-shaped kind of bar. Big dance floor.
Does it have checkered floors? I can't remember.
Oh, maybe.
Possibly.
Remember. There's so many people. It's a really busy kind of place.
And isn't it so funny? So gig that I was working at, we went to check that out for our birthday party, and it was a big birthday party because the company had been around for a long time, and I'd been in there before. Obviously, that's why we wanted to go and hit up the venue to host the gig. Isn't it so interesting when you're there when no one's there and you realize how small it is? But when you've got so many people crammed in there, you think,
because they fill it up.
Oh, they certainly do. So they've got a thing going on next Thursday.
Okay, so that's
which is is the 22nd.
Thursday, 22nd. Yeah. Yep.
And it's called We Love UK, so Live Forever fundraiser. So essentially, they're, because of all the attacks that have happened in Manchester and London, they're actually wanting to make raise money to.
Oh, that's cool. And yeah. The recent fire that was yesterday.
Oh, I know. Awful. That were absolutely terrible. Yeah. So they're essentially wanting to make money, and all the fund, 100% of the proceeds are going to go to the Red Cross for the UK,
okay,
which
UK
is
Red Cross, yeah.
So fantastic, you know. And so what they're going to have, they're going to have DJs and bands, but essentially they will have over 6 hours of live music, DJs, but they're, so it's going to be all the old, like Manchester stuff, like
Stone,
Happy Monday,
Stone Roses, Happy Monday,
Stone Roses,
Blur, Oasis, Blur,
yeah,
yeah, like
kind of, well, yeah, the Smiths, Suede, yeah. So I think that's
that'd
a really
be cool.
beautiful initiative,
yeah, cool, yeah.
And it's free entry to get in there. However, and they're still they're yeah. still giving happy hour prices,
that's
but
cool.
they're going to donate 100% of their proceeds towards
yeah,
that,
good.
Which I think is such a beautiful thing.
No, that is good.
Yeah, I think it's really, really lovely. So I thought that was important
and it's,
to
yeah,
mention
if,
that.
If anyone hasn't been, it's a really great venue. It's a really great
it's funky,
venue.
Yeah,
it's cool,
because
yeah,
you can
really
sit
cool
in the booths
venue.
And just hang with your friends or just
yeah,
get up
yeah.
and have a wiggle.
And there's a little raised area in the, you know, that you can sit in, and yeah, otherwise there's a good dance floor area. And, with, right, and you're right next to the DJ booth, like he's right next to you, so you can really
spill a drink on him and
yeah,
make requests.
Basically, yeah, you can really vibe on the DJ's energy, which I think is great, which is cool. So, and yeah, annoyingly ask him for requests and things. So, yeah. Actually, Jazzy Jeff, when he was here a few years back and he did the Ivy pool party, which I went to, which was really good, which I don't really like the Ivy, but for Jazzy Jeff, I'll go to the pool party.
And their sound system is incredible.
It was awesome. It was,
yeah.
it was a really
I
good
I saw
day.
Derek May and Jeff Mills yeah. and that. And we're all dubious about attending that gig as well. And
but
we
they do it
saying,
well. It's
absolutely.
Put up with a few of the idiots, but it's great. I mean, the pool party thing, and it was on a hot summer's day.
Did you BYO togs, or did you have to buy togs, or did you get in your own undies?
I think because it was so busy, they actually covered over most of the pool
as
a dance floor.
Yeah.
They put a thing. Yeah, they put like it was a proper because Jazzy Jeff, so the place was round.
Okay.
It was so good. I was trying to. There were all these like the kind of hip hop dance crew that goes around Sydney. That there's a big group of them, and they've got this proper dance thing they do. I was trying to join in really badly. It was all like really choreographed. Like they have this set dance they do, and it's really cool. I was trying to join in very badly, but I didn't give a fuck.
Hey.
It was great fun. And
that's what it's all about, my friend.
He did an after party at the Soda Factory that night, but I was so drunk I couldn't get in.
Darling, I see a recurrent theme here.
And not only that, I went from there with my mate, hammered. I'd been drinking vodka all afternoon. My friend was down in somewhere in a fancy bar restaurant down the road on George Street with her mum. And her sister and like all her family, and we went down to meet them for dinner.
How did that go?
Good. I got there, and then she introduced me, and then I thought she called me a cunt in front of her mum. And I was like, really taken aback. And then I got to the bar, and I was like, did you just call me a cunt in front of your mum? And she's like, no, of course not. I was like, all right. Yeah, so anyway. So then I flirted with
her. Can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, can't be friends, yeah. So that was Sam, actually. That was Sam's mum.
I would say, well, if you call me that, let me introduce you to a podcast.
Yeah, to my friends.
Game on, Mole.
Yeah, so, and then I got more drunk, and then we were supposed to go home to my place and then go back and meet some more of my friends at the Soda Factory. Because it was free entry as well. It's like Jazzy Jazz playing here. You can all get in for free.
Oh, did you have to line up for long though?
I didn't even go. I was too drunk.
Oh,
yeah.
Darling.
So, yeah. Anyway. But it would have been good. But I'd already seen him once. So I think twice in a day is probably a bit much for Jazzy Jeff. Who is, if you ever get a chance to see him, is go and see him.
Oh,
it'd
be incredible.
One of the best.
It's old school.
Oh, one of the best DJs of all time. Mm. Like, still is. Just in terms of technical ability.
Did you ever see Mixmaster Mike, Beastie Boys?
No.
Oh, wow.
I don't think so.
That was so incredible.
I've seen some pretty awesome people over here.
An octopus.
Octopus?
I said he's like an octopus.
Oh, I thought you were saying Dr. Octagon. I was like, huh? What do you mean, Dr. Octagon? Octopus?
He's like an octopus, just with the way that.
Yeah, Mixed Master Mike. Although I have to say,
he's legendary. One of my all-time favorite DJs is Carl Cox, and watching him on 3 decks is pretty impressive as well.
Yeah,
pretty cool. And then on the mic,
he's done 6 decks, doesn't he? I'm sure he's done that before, which is just insane. Like,
yeah,
I've seen Derek Carter on 3 decks.
Oh, yeah, God, Carter is.
I'd go anywhere to see Derek Carter.
I love him as well. Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see Derek Carter do a disco set, honestly.
Yeah, shut the front door.
Two years ago, New Year's Eve, or 3 years ago, he was down in Adelaide with James Curd. New Year's Eve.
Where was it?
All disco. It was at James Curd's. He's co-owner of a bar down there called, what's it called? Oscar Bar, something like that in Adelaide. It's a tiny little place. He's got a studio Oscar downstairs Bar. That's his studio that's decked out with all his equipment where he does his production. James Kerr's a brilliant producer as well. And upstairs is like a cool bar, and they had a New Year's Eve thing there, and it was James Kerr, Carter and someone else, and they did a disco thing the whole night. And it would have been, I was going to drive down and just to go and see him, but I didn't in the end. I should have done, because it was a shit.
Oh, he's just so good, isn't he?
Both of them, James Curd and him, are just amazing, incredible. Oh. James Curd, you can actually see over here because he lives here now, so in Adelaide.
Oh, right.
So I put him right up there.
Where does he hail from?
James Curd, from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. He grew up in the whole
era, and he was. Derek Carter used to sneak him into clubs when he was like 15 to warm up for him.
It's like the whole Frankie Knuckles story with Larry LeVan and all those guys. So, that's amazing.
So James Curd's really young. He's probably my kind of age, like mid-30s, well, late 30s for me. Incredible, amazing producer, and also just as a DJ, just
technically,
it's like you. When you hear him play, he uses the decks like an instrument. It's like he's playing an instrument when he's doing it. Rather, it's not just mixing or not just, you know, knocking it across. He's creating music with his decks and stuff. And it's like you don't get many DJs who
that's like pure DJ.
Anyone
can be a DJ pretty ridiculous.
Not to that level, though.
Well, no, but... But anyone can call themselves a DJ.
Oh, yeah, anyone can call themselves a DJ. I could call myself a DJ with this shit.
No, you can't, because you've actually got...
I'm not very good.
Stop beating up yourself.
I don't care. I know I'm not good. I just love scratching. I'm getting all right at that. It's a very good way to relax for me at the end of the day. I just come back and scratch it a bit. It's fucking great.
Scratch your records.
Oh, it's fine. Doesn't matter. It's all Serato, darling.
Yeah, but... I love it. So, speaking of records, there's a record fair coming up.
I've got some new records there, actually.
Well, so...
I fucking love it, yeah.
Yeah, so 1st of July, there's a record fair at the Bank Hotel, and they have it every first Saturday of the month. So, go get yourself some new wax.
I will. I got myself an MF Doom album the other day, and I finally got Mezzanine Massive Attack on vinyl, which I've been meaning to get for ages. And I bought it, and I was like, have I already bought this? I fucking hope not. So I just bought it anyway, hoping that I hadn't, and apparently I haven't, so it's good. So otherwise, my mate was going to have to get it.
Are you a fan of the Kruder and Dorfmeister?
Yeah. Dorfmeister, my brother's got that on vinyl somewhere.
You know, that's one of the things I really miss about having a car.
What, playing vinyl?
No, listening to.
Got my record player in the car.
Darling, you've worked with me. You know I'm a multitasker.
Listening to music.
Really good music and being in the car.
Yeah, that I get a new album and I'll go and go for a drive.
Yes,
and
because
put it on, listen to the whole thing and just drive around for an hour around the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
It's
a pretty good sound system in there as well. So it's a good way to listen to music.
Which of the three cars?
Well, only two at the moment. But actually, in the Mini, it's all right. I've got a pretty decent sound system.
Is it just a Mini sound system?
Yeah, no, it is actually. No, it's not bad, but the one in the Golf is better. It's more... submersive, immersive. I don't know what the word is. I'm too drunk. I know what you mean. It's a great way to do it. And
I'll go for
a drive out into the countryside and put some tunes on and just listen to a few albums.
I think we talked about this last time, or maybe away from the microphones.
Off mic.
Yeah, so living
off
in
the record.
Yeah,
as we say.
Yeah, yeah, off the record and onto the CD. So I used to I had never had any qualms about walking into this great record store, and I think it's still there in Adelaide on Rundle Street. Maybe it's not there. Called B Sharp Records, and I go in there and I spend $300 on CDs.
Yeah.
But I also loved more than that. I loved discovering new music, but also going around to all the secondhand bookshops and
I love secondhand bookshops.
And music shops, and just listening to obscure stuff and discovering things that I've never heard before.
Mm.
So I spent quite a bit of time doing that, and unfortunately, when my ex and I broke up years ago, he took half the collection, which he wouldn't have had understanding or appreciation of the music. Oh, but that was such a nice thing to do. And now, kids these days
don't
even have any understanding. It is a whole process. As I was saying to you, and you understand, you get new music. So I'd go to B Sharp, buy a CD, get home, open up the cover, love the cover artwork, love it even more if they had lyrics inside. But also it was the connection with the music. So you do it on your own. It's like at home or driving in your car. It was just you and the music and just immersion, absolutely.
That's really interesting you say that. James Curd, who we were just talking about, posted this thing the other day.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can find it and I'll read you his post. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so it's a bit of a long post, but I'll read it. So this is James Kerr. This is the DJ we were talking about just now.
Great.
So this is him on a post of his on Facebook. So a friend forwarded me an article that interviewed up-and-coming DJs. They talk about their first club experiences and how they got into music. One of them talked about their first gig and how it was a nightmare because their USB stick wouldn't work. It made me feel really thankful and lucky that I came up in Chicago when I did. The first time I went to a club was at Medusa's at Congress Theatre. The first record I bought was Battle of the DJs on Lazy Boy Records from Gramophone Records. The first time I DJed in front of people was at Even Further.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I DJed in a club was at Smart Bar. Thanks, mm-hmm. Terry Martin. Smart Bar is like legendary house club.
Yeah.
First time I was booked in, I was booked for, oh no, the first party I was booked for was Submerged alongside Afrika Bambaataa Delight. Thanks again, Terry Martin.
Represent.
First piece of gear I bought was an MPC 2000 after working all summer long and saving up.
Oh, love.
First song I ever released on vinyl was on vinyl on Bass Nautic Records out of Paris. My first DJ residency was at Tunnel with Diz Washington and Gene Farris. My second one was with Diz Washington and Derek Carter at Red No 5. My first overseas gig was at the Rex Club official fan page in Paris.
Yes.
First live show was at Sub Club in Glasgow. First festival I played was at Tea in the Park. First interstate residency was at Club Love in New York. I've played in 28 states and 21 countries, and I'm about to check India off the list this month.
He's a bit of a show-off, isn't he?
Well, yeah, no. I'm not an old... So here he says, I'm not an old guy saying it was better back in my day. I use a USB to DJ now. I make most of my music and all of my film scoring on a computer. I don't care about analog versus digital. I just look back on the daily grind of record shopping and making music with 100 megabyte capacities, and it feels nice. Traveling with a heavy-ass record bag instead of a USB case, having to learn gear instead of programs, dig instead of download, search instead of Shazam, pressing vinyl over pressing upload. I used to spend whole days doing things with and about music that only takes minutes now. I don't know what I would have done with all the extra time back then. Everything was cool then. Everything is cool now. I'm just saying, for me personally, I would have struggled to do much in music if I came up today, because I'm a hands-on physical world person when it comes to experiencing or learning new
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, and to the up-and-coming DJs, bring a backup USB.
Well, and you know what?
It's just a really nice post.
Ultimately you just can say there's a huge sense of romanticism that you have with the music.
Yeah, because well, that's what you take, the connection you have. And
yeah, you take the time.
The time you spent digging and finding. And, oh, and God, then, I found this amazing
And you found this and then you make... You just naturally make the time to spend with it and learn it and love it. And, it's very different. And so I was having this conversation. I've had this conversation with lots of people and I think I feel very lucky being in this era, like a cross era from analog
to digital. Both,
back, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, honey child, but back in the day when I was studying for to write an essay, if the fucking book was checked out of the library, you're fucked. And now the kids have got the internet. Yeah. And
got the internet now. It's such a useful tool for that.
Absolutely. So it's those things. But also I caught up with someone the other day and we were telling these stories how we had pen pals.
Pen pals.
So you would write a letter to someone from on the other side of the world and you would wait... I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks for your thing to be posted back to you.
Yeah.
And you would just wait and it would arrive. You'd be so excited. It was just so magical. And so one of those pen pals I had years ago is in this amazing club in Adelaide. It's called the Cargo Club and had been there for a really long time. Initially started out as a jazz club. So you'd walk in, they had on the wall as you're walking, I had all these black and white photos of these amazing jazz singers and musicians. And you'd go in and then just above the dance floor, they had this roof that had stars all over it, but all the musicians signed the roof. It was just had this massive sense of nostalgia. It was like absolutely divine. And one night out there dancing away, I met this guy from Austria, Florian Schmidt. And this is before the internet, and we were pen pal buddies. And then I finally went on my first European adventure with my partner at the time. And we went to Austria, and he was living in Graz. And he gave up his home because he had a girlfriend. So he went and stayed with his girlfriend, but he gave up his home for us to stay in. How beautiful is that?
That's cool.
So lovely, you know, and that's back in the
before the time.
I know, and now the thing. There's a whole nother different podcast that we can talk about.
I feel really
lucky to be in those more innocent sort of times, and those times where
it's very different now.
Where you had the patience, and you. Take the time to
you appreciate write. Things more now. Yeah. Well, you appreciate
the, yeah.
More
so you
more.
Take yeah. the time to write something to someone, and then you'd post it, and then you'd just happily wait. Yeah. And now, as you know, I've been without a phone since Sunday.
Yeah.
I have to say, it's been quite nice for me.
Yeah, I kind of.
But
I've
been messaging people say, "Hey, I'm going to meet you at this time. You have to wait for me."
Yeah. Well, that's what I used to like when I was younger. It's like you arranged to meet. I think that's why people of our age are more punctual, because it used to be, I'll see you there at 7 and you were there at 7 or you didn't see your mates all night.
Or you waited for 10 minutes and it wasn't an issue. You just go cheeseburger and fling the gherkins on the window.
But sometimes if you were late, everyone had fucked off and you're like, well, I've got to try and hunt them down now, and you just had to try and follow them round the pubs until you find your mates and stuff like that.
At 15?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely at 15, yeah. So,
I love you.
Yeah, it was, so we were very punctual.
You're my little Timmy trash pants. Yeah,
we were very punctual alcoholics at 15. We were drunk, but damn it, we were punctual.
Drunctual and punctual.
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. So,
listen to us in our tangents, right?
I know, it's good, isn't it? So what should we do? Should we end it there and then have you got more things?
Yeah, all right,
come on then. Let's, okay. It's getting late. I got to go to bed soon. I'm a delicate flower.
I know, darling. So, all right. So there's another really cool thing on, and I had to bring it up because.
Oh, what's that?
Okay. So do you go to the markets at all?
What markets?
Exactly.
Well, I go to Glebe Market sometimes.
Oh, I love Glebe Market. It's down the road. Glebe Market's fantastic.
The Bondi ones I used to quite like, I used to go to. They were quite good. Especially the one Glebe's on Saturday because it was all food and farmers and stuff. The Sunday one was all wanky cloves and shit, but I think the Saturday one was better. But yeah.
So, darling, we are going to do a segment on the Chippendale precinct. Yes, so
there's a market there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, it's called the Brewery Yard
we
Market.
We can take the portable thing with us and just walk around and chat with it.
Let's do that, so, yes. Yeah. We can interview people.
We can interview
that
people.
That would be fabulous. Yeah. I'd love that. So on the...
We should do that. Maybe that should be a Timmy Foodie one. Is it food-based or is it kind of culture-based? Maybe we should...
It's cross-pollination, so...
Maybe we'll do it on Harmonic Whiskey
Toast. No. Well, we can do... I can interview for
actually,
the
I could probably just release it on both, actually.
Well, I can podcast do sharing the arts cool, thing, so. And then you can do... Yeah. So, every first and third Sunday from 10 till 4, they have these markets just out at the back on the green of Central Park called the Brewery Yard Markets, because obviously that's where the brewery was.
I do like it around there. It's cool.
Oh, yeah. It's so funky, isn't it? Yeah. So they're having a market this weekend, but I had to give it a bit of a plug because the Brooklyn Boy Bagels are doing a unicorn bagel.
Ah.
See? And for all you guys that can't see...
I'm a unicorn over there.
It's
a very colourful bagel.
It is a rainbow... in a cloud that needs to be eaten. See?
So that's Central Park in Chippendale. Chippendale, the city. So just off Broadway, really, essentially near Broadway.
Absolutely.
It's a cool place with an amazing, my favourite building in Sydney.
Which one's that?
With the plants on it. The one
It's called the Living Mall.
The Living Mall. Yeah, I really like it. It's great.
Well, and you know what? That's one major...
And I haven't built more of them. I don't understand it.
That's one major architectural awards, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Why haven't they done that more? Like, have you seen the new convention centre in the city?
No.
It's like the ugliest building in the world, and they've just built it. It's like, you've got to deal with that for 30 years.
Oh, yes, I have seen it.
Well, from the front, it's all right, the glass, but then when you're on the other side, coming from where I am, it's just this big grey block. It's like, God, let's put some lights on
it. Not really conventional, is it?
Well, no, but like... The architect must have been a right boring bastard to do that. I just don't get it. Like, go to Singapore and see all the new buildings they're putting up, and they're all amazing things with green stuff growing off them and cool things and lights, and they just make it look really interesting and amazing. And in Sydney, it's just a big boring bore fest of new architecture. It's fucking shit.
And this is why you stay at home.
Yeah, it's why I'm a recluse. I sit in my room and drink whiskey, talk shit.
So there's one...
Scratch.
Before we...
Cook. Take pictures. That's all I do.
He sanitizes after the scratching before he cooks.
Yes.
There's one thing I want to... I know it's not in the next 2 weeks, but it's one thing that I want to mention because you know how passionate I am about keeping Sydney open.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to do two things. So, first of all, we'll do this one. So, the Keep Sydney Open guys have created this night out. It's not too far away, July 1, but I think it's good to educate people or create awareness now.
July 1st? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yep. So, they're creating this night called Meet Me in the Cross. Okay. So they're just wanting to, I think they're really just wanting to try and get people back into the cross because it's just, it's a dead zone. Yeah. It really is. So all these people, astral people, Sweated Out, Love Bombs, Heaps Gay, Zoo Project, T1000, Rod Richards, Great Parties, Future Classic, goes on, One ticket, $30. You just go from place to place, and
this is in the Cross.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So they refer to it as a passport to go from place to place. So it's just supporting the local community and just trying to keep the love alive, you know, that's for cool. these guys that are been working really hard to do what they've been doing. But I want to, and I'm going to read out a quote to you.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
So I'm very happy about this news. Did you ever go to the Lansdowne Hotel?
Yes. Where is that? It rings a bell. I'm sure I've been there.
Yes. So I think it's classed as Chippendale. So it's on the corner. It's
across I know. Yeah, yeah. Up near the park. Victoria Park. Is it the one on the corner there? Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's been there for a really long time. I'm going to show you a photo from 1926.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It hasn't changed.
That incredible? Yeah, that's cool. Well,
yeah. Well, apart from the people and then it's and not in black and white anymore.
Burning.
Was it?
Yeah.
It looks like that, though, doesn't it?
Closed down because some crazy woman that had an argument with a boyfriend and set it on fire.
Oh, really?
That's a story I heard. Who knows? So, did you know?
No.
That it's reopening. And I'm excited because there needs to be more live music venues. And so, it's the guys from. Look at them. They're looking so jolly in their lumberjack wear. I love it.
Typical Aussie wear.
Oh, yeah. But it looks like they're drinking cider, so lost a little bit of respect but that's okay. That's okay. Two guys that are coming together, and I love this note. This is the opening paragraph for the article. The sad tale of Sydney's cultural demise since the lockout laws came into effect is a familiar dirge, but Jack Smyth refuses to sing along. I fucking hate seeing those fucking articles. Why I left Sydney? Why I'm leaving Sydney? Sydney, you've been great, but you really let me down. Fuck off. Do something about it. It's not good enough because Sydney is genuinely one of the best cities I've ever been in. I don't live in Sydney because I ended up here. I'm not a victim of circumstance. Neither is Kenny. I'm in Sydney because I love it here and I'm fucking committed to this city, to leaving it better than when we found it. I think I've met my man that him and I could have a bit of an F off. Yes. But I love his energy, his exuberance, and his passion.
That's a good point. It's like, you know, absolutely.
Let's not give in.
It's difficult, but there's still, you know.
Life's fucking shit anyway, isn't it? Yeah, life really has hurdles and sometimes stacked closer.
I think with Sydney, you just have to now push things at other times of the day. I guess that's what it is. You just have to, you know, get around the stupid lockout laws by trying to push. I don't know how you do it, but it's I think that's how you just
do it.
You cater for people earlier on. I don't know. I mean, is that what you do? You just think, well, okay, yeah, we can't let people in after.
Well, I think it's adaptation at the end of the day. Yeah.
Get not people there.
Be defeated and adapt and then recreate, I guess. So I really love the fact that this pub. So run down.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I went to so many fantastic gigs over the years. Even my soul
buddies. The Abercrombie that's just down the road from there. That's shut, but that will reopen soon once all the stuff's happened down there. Is it the Abercrombie? The one right on the corner. It used to be
across the road from Central Park.
Yeah, yeah. Because they kept it. They didn't knock it down. They kept it there.
Is that because of historical
probably
value?
And so that will reopen. And that's
I had some funny times there too.
Oh, me too. God, I've been to some
awesome. That's another podcast, isn't it,
darling? I used to go there for hip hop and drum and bass days.
Sunday nights.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Grimy drum and bass in the pub. Yes.
So what I love about this is that they are reopening this, hasn't been open for a while. They're getting rid of the pokies. Oh, no, pokies. Yeah. Fabulous. Well, that's good. Pokies are vile, disgusting, yeah. soul-destroying, family-destroying, life-destroying, awful things.
There's a big gambling problem in Australia, if people don't realise.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. And most pubs have pokies in them. Awful. And they're still going to do the $10 lunches, which is quite impressive for something that's going to be renovated.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually new ventures charge you $30 lunches.
Well, they could go towards the wankier side of Sydney food lunches, which is $30. Yeah,
yeah, exactly right.
For probably the same food as well.
Yeah. So these guys, so one of the guys has done, have you been to Mary's Burgers in Newtown?
No.
Oh, it's quite cool. So the first time I went there, it's on Mary Street, go in there, and it actually reminded me of something in Berlin. It's quite, it's dark and it feels like you're eating burgers in a barn, but is there a coffin in the corner? It's fucking cool. I love it. Great. Couldn't eat the burger, but I don't care. Couldn't eat the bun, but I was happy to be there because it was something different. So they're ditching the burger. Well, I think they will still keep on with the burgers, but they're going for a pizza vibe. Mm. But they're going to be doing the introduction of a Detroit-style deep dish pizza menu.
Oh, deep dish.
Deep dish.
Nice.
While we're on the Detroit tip just before. And what I also love is the fact that it's not just two guys from two different ventures getting together, but they're also they're going to be working with another local provador, which is LP Qualities Meats. And I really like that's that cool. when all the community snuggles. I think that's so fantastic. Instead of people instead of the rivalry, band together and do what you can.
Totally. It makes total sense to do that. Yeah. So that's what my friend with her butchers, they're actually in their local area. They sell meat to various restaurants in the area, and everyone's kind of saying, "Oh, we sell our meat to these restaurants," and the restaurants has got a little thing saying, "We buy our meat from these guys." And
share
it's
the
a
love.
Way of also saying, you know, our produce is very high quality because we get it from here, which
Absolutely.
You buy your meat from here.
Why not?
Be assured of the quality. You know, band it's
together.
Just a really good way of doing it, I think. It's like a little community thing. So
I'm always about that.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about my friend Dan Ling. And she, so this talk that she did on Sunday, they did a Q&A and there was a girl that was in the audience who's a farmer, and she was asking the questions. And Dan Ling said, "You know what? I really want to talk to you and see if we can work together with you and Automata and other people and see if we can help each other, you know, and move forward." And I think that's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, definitely.
There's so much competition in the world, and people, you know, it's that eat or be eaten philosophy, and I really don't like that at all.
Well, it doesn't need to be like
that. It doesn't. Life's so tough. We're here to. There needs to be more kindness in the world.
People need to get past the greed side of their.
Yes,
kind of
too
their
much of that in the world.
Yeah.
So I think I just want to wrap up with this. I think this is great.
Yeah.
So he said. So that's the plan for the biggest pub rebirth for 2017. Confident. We can sit here and bitch about things, or we can do nothing and fucking bust ass to make sure it's something worthwhile. And when we do open, hopefully, that might be enough to encourage someone else to do it. And another one, and another one. We're not going to be single-handedly saving anything, but we might be a part of that positive story about changing what's happening here.
Yeah, that's really good. And that's totally true. I think it's
a perfect
way to try and do it.
We need to look after each other, be kind to each other and look after, just do the best we can.
Try and start a little movement of positive energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is good. Yeah, very nice. Well, there we go.
All right. Another.
There we go.
All right, well, that's it for the next one.
So we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
And we promise that we'll be a little bit more sober.
Well, no, I don't think
we
actually.
That was good.
We may
I
or may
get,
not be a
through.
Little bit more or less
so,
sober. So
my aim was to get through 10 things.
How many did we get through? Not that many.
Well, no, but
I think it's good. We covered a bit of stuff. I think it was good, and we covered some stuff that's going on at the moment, and then a few weeks' time,
and there's things that we can still talk about because there are things that are still happening
that will still be relevant. Well, we'll just try and do one next so that it's this. Still relevant stuff that we've got, so we'll just fit that in. So
you know what, that's the magic thing about this city, even though, you know, we get so upset about, I do get upset about the lockout laws and how much effect that it's had, but I also relish and celebrate everything that happens every day.
Yeah. Well, there's still, like, you know, it's like a Thursday night for us, and we've gone out and had a cool meal at a cool place, and so there's still, you can still do things like
we
that,
can.
But you just have to, I guess, know about them and know where to go. And maybe that's how we can help you guys, is say, you know, let you know about all this stuff.
Exactly,
and maybe that
right.
then helps people will then go out to it, and it will start helping spreading the love, and,
exactly.
you know, get out midweek and go and check something out, and, you know, support these guys who are
exactly.
working hard. And
absolutely,
you know, most of these people with these restaurants and these places are following their passion. So you should get out there and support them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also it breaks up your week nicely, and you don't have to go out and get really drunk. Just have a few drinks and have some nice food and
make a podcast.
Or make a podcast, yeah, you know. It just doesn't, you know, and, you know, it just helps ease the stress of your week. If you're in a job you don't like or anything, then get out and enjoy yourself a bit. You
exactly.
know? Spend some of that money on something good for the soul rather than gadgets, which I would do.
You couldn't see me right now, and I'm just looking.
Surrounded,
I tilted my head and
gadgets.
I raised an eyebrow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that people have to know me to understand the irony I was trying to get to there. So. But anyway, there we go. So yeah, we'll chat to you all soon. podcast@harmonicwhiskytales.com if you want to drop us an email. Again, you can subscribe on iTunes and all the other podcasting platforms, which apparently we're on, which I didn't even realize, but apparently I've set it up correctly, so we're on them all. Or you can go to harmonicwhiskytales.com and listen to us on there. And if you go there, you can see the photo of me dressed like a little gangster.
Yes,
or a duck,
please do
or a blue
this
duck.
Time.
Yeah, so.
Please do this time.
Yes.
We'll see you soon, people.
See ya.